Yeah, I think it's probably just say it's not a spectator sport. You know, you don't learn the piano by watching. You've just got to do it. I think when I was starting to program Bitcoin, I didn't understand miners fees, and I think the miners fee was 4 Bitcoin that I sent. I was like, oops. But, you know, and then I thought, oh, actually, oh, there is a testnet. Maybe I'll play on that. Maybe I'm not that clever. So I never want to go back and look at that transaction again. But, oops. Yeah, we get in there and play and learn. And like I said, try and contribute back. It really does pay dividends. Like if you make a pull request, it, you know, it's always welcome. So yeah, get in there and start doing, and yeah, and then see what shakes out.
That is Lucas Cullen, and this is episode 14 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. I'm Adriana Bellotti, and today's guest is Lucas Cullen. Lucas is a software engineer and Bitcoin early adopter. He started the Bitcoin Brisbane Meetup and co-founded Get Paid in Bitcoin. He is also the lead developer at Civic Ledger and vice president of Blockchain Australia. He's a passionate dude and loves using crypto and advocates for it all the time. Let's hear from Lucas.
We are rolling.
Episode what? What are we up to?
This will be episode 14.
Who got 13?
We're recording for the future.
Aye.
Nick Addison will have 13.
I'd rather 13, I think.
Is that your lucky number?
No, it's 15 is my lucky number, actually, but 13 sounds cooler than 14.
Okay. Do you like the odds?
Yeah.
All right. So, welcome, Lucas.
G'day.
Good to have you in Sydney.
Yep. Just a smash and grab, though.
It's like, I feel like I never see you, and then when I see you, it's like little pockets of seeing you a lot.
Yeah, that's probably true, yeah. Like I said, I get a bit of free time over December, so I try and get down here in Melbourne and catch up and party and misbehave. So.
Are you going to be back next week?
I think I will.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I think I will.
That's going to be the big one. And for whoever is listening, that would have been in the past for maybe like 4 weeks from release date. I don't know, maybe you listen to this in 2025 and it's going to be really old. So hi, future.
Hi.
Blockchain will probably be a lot different then, we hope.
Yeah, it'll be full blocks. More full blocks. More blockchains.
More meaningful blocks.
Yeah, maybe meaningful, yeah.
So tell me, Lucas, how did you start your career?
Career or blockchain career?
Career first. So the objective is to talk about the transition from before and now.
The gateway chain, sure. I guess it probably starts back to Commodore 64 days where we were tinkering on them, writing programs in BASIC. Had the Apple IIs at school. Remember, I don't know if you're in the country, but we had those Coles Apple for School program where you collect vouchers, and I know some probably scam from Coles, but anyway, we got a lot of Apple IIs at school. And those games, Dinosaur Discovery, which is actually a Brisbane-based labs, I looked them up. Played on them, and then just started tinkering and programming ever since, and then started doing the uni thing, the IT degree. Realized that it was probably 10% of coding, 90% of everything else. You know, I remember doing layer 7 TCP IP and database design and all that garbage. I didn't really want to do that. I just did programming. So I picked up a job as a developer, did the UK stint. So I didn't quit my Brisbane job. I just went to the UK on a one-month holiday.
Okay.
And ended up staying 7 years. So I just assume I got fired from that job. So if they're listening, I'll be back soon. when I got back, all my mates were like, you should just go sit in your desk and say, hey.
What were you programming back then?
It was actually like through this company. I won't say them. But automating CAD software.
Okay.
So, yeah, again, it's all VB6 or VB macros, so again from that basic, and yeah, it's just automating systems and those kind of little in-house applications, so supporting them. Yeah, and then UK, I actually got into a startup, PhotoBox, which when we started, there was probably six guys there, a team of six. We were growing. This is right on the 2002, 2003 internet camera, digital camera boom. Like, remember, everyone was getting digital cameras there, so mm-hmm. we were printing out those photos. So it was a real e-commerce platform, so we took real payments, credit cards, synchronized the photos between three different locations, so bandwidth was crazy in those days, and we're growing ridiculously. We're growing at 800% a year. So I remember making decisions. We had these customer order numbers, and we used to trim them down to three digits, significant three figures. And we're laughing. We say, we'll never do more than 1,000 orders a day. So what does it matter? And then next year, we're doing more than 1,000 orders a day. And all these software decisions that we made were just destroyed. We made pretty high forecasts, and it's just insane. We did 90% of our orders over Christmas through that Christmas period. So just the scaling and ramping up for that, and then it was crazy. And then they bought out a company for £200 million or something. So it was, that got me really excited on working for startups where it was really agile and you made a difference on your coding. You could make real modifications. I remember literally. I mean, remember, you got to cast your mind back. This was the flash days too, and we used to upload all these high res images, and then we'd have these cheap Dell boxes. I remember 6 or 12 Dell boxes just ripping down high res images to thumbnails, right? So it's just a lot of CPU wasted, and then we're just sitting around the water cooler and the guy goes, "Why don't we rip them on the client side in flash and distribute the power to decent?" It's that sounds like a good idea. So we ran back to our desk and pushed that patch out. But it had a very significant saving. I mean, it was just so agile and so quick and reactive. And and one of the guys there was, it was actually a good segue into the Bitcoin blockchain space, because that was when Second Life was coming out. And Mark was his name. He was that guy who was a really early adopter on things. He was the one who said, "Look at YouTube, look at Facebook. This is when these technologies were coming out." And he says, "Check out Second Life." And we're like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Oh, they've got these Linden dollars and you can actually sell them." And we're like, "You can't just make up money. That's ridiculous." And then you realize you don't know what money is. And
that's what governments do.
That's what governments do, apparently. So anyway, so there's a whole mixing pot of those new technologies. Yeah, we had some very good engineers there. And, that rapid startup scene, it's crazy. So, 2008, got back to sunny Brisbane and picked up some software engineering jobs there. That's the career stuff.
That's okay. That's 2008. Did you get into Bitcoin early on? How did you find about that?
Yeah, so again, from the London scene, they rolled out from paper tickets to the Oyster card, which is what do you call it here? The Tap and Go card here. The Opal card in Sydney. So that sparked conversations about a lot of things, about how do you secure funds electronically. And then, there's those kind of conversations, and we had a Polish guy, we're looking at cracking them with FPGAs, the keys on those tap and go systems, the RFID cards.
What does FPGA stand for?
Well, it's actually what they started using for the Bitcoin miners at the start, but they're just small circuit boards that you can program and they run very fast, so using them to crack numbers, you get a lot of efficiency over a general CPU.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at those technologies and breaking security systems there, and then got back to Brisbane in 2008 and noticed they had paper tickets as well, didn't have an RFID system or a contactless system. So again, the conversations came up about electronic cash and distributed networks, and one of the engineers said, "Go and read Bruce Schneider's Applied Cryptography," which actually talks to electronic cash protocols and talks about double spend. So I kind of had that background. And then 2010, I decided I was really liking this cryptography nonsense, but didn't really understand the math behind it. So I went back to uni and studied a Bachelor of Math to try and understand those protocols well. And then working at a bank, doing that, and then Bitcoin popped up on one of my news feeds in 2011. And they said, "Oh, we've solved the double spend." I said, "I've done the homework before, played with these systems." So I had a look at it, and they seemed to have solved it. So then that piqued my interest and started studying ever since, or following it and getting involved ever since.
And you have done a couple of businesses in the space?
Yeah, so I did a, I've done a, like, Bitcoin Brisbane is just a freelance company, and now I'm working with Katrina, Civic Ledger. So
how about Get Paid in Bitcoin?
Yeah, and Get Paid in Bitcoin. Sorry, Adam. Yeah, so there's, I mean, there's lots of little pockets of innovation. I've, you know, worked freelance, and I thought at the start, like a lot of people, that, you know, Bitcoin payments and people integrating would be a big thing, and, you know, Jason BitPause probably thought the same thing. So that was the first cabs off the rank, integrating e-commerce platforms into Bitcoin, and then that died off a bit. Then we looked at Colorcoin protocols, had a gig with a bullion dealer trying to, you know, open assets in Colorcoins. But
weren't you the Colorcoin ambassador for Australia at one point? I used to.
Oh, well, it's kind of dead now because with Ethereum, it's just too hard, yeah, too slow, too expensive. So, yeah. You know, the world moved on, and Vitalik was one of the authors of Colorcoin, and was just, the protocol was too bad. Well, I mean, it was a good segue protocol, and then Ethereum came out. And to be honest, it probably took me 6 months. I probably had some calls with Nick and the BitRocket guy. Well, I forget his name at the moment on the spot.
Joe Richards.
Joe Richards about, yeah, why use Ethereum? Why not just use Bitcoin protocol? And then you start playing with it and realize, yeah, it's a lot easier to do transactions with Ethereum than Bitcoin, and, yeah, the world moves on. So, but it was probably a good wait, because the libraries and the software needs to mature and then get in. I remember when Augur came out, I understand that value proposition quite well, peer-to-peer betting. So I tried to run the Augur protocol at the start, like I think it was day one when they released it, and just Geth wouldn't come up. I was like, and I'm just emailing the guys and they're responding back like within, you know, 2 minutes. So I must be the only guy trying to run this thing. Very good support. Thanks, Tom from Augur. And I just said, look, I just gave up. I spent like 3 days trying to get Geth up, trying to get Augur running. And I just said, no, it's not ready yet. Yeah, so then waited probably 6 months to get into it, and then Geth and that had stabled up, and we started playing with it a bit more ever since.
Weren't you at some point building something to do with poker?
Yeah, so I've done a couple of things with poker. So I started BitPoker, which was trying to use, again, the Bitcoin protocol, but it gets very hard. You can use it as the payment instrument, but proving that who won the hand in like a commit reveal schema on Bitcoin, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's very hard to engineer. So that kind of, I thought I could do it with like multi-signature and Lightning networks, but it just gets really hard really quickly. And there's a lot of gaming, you know, if people disconnect by accident or by design, then how do you pay out that person if it's in multi-sig? And which was fine, like as an engineer, that's what you want to try and solve these problems. So, yeah, I was doing that for a while, and then when I joined Consensus, they actually have a spoke virtue poker, so I got onto that for a while. But again, it was probably 5% smart contracts and 95% just software engineering, and they use React and Redux. And they're out of Spain and New York, so it was really hard to be in that spoke, just time-wise and skill set. So I did it for about 2 months and then just rolled off. I said it's just not working out as a team, so... I feel the projects have been on.
And tell us a bit more about Civic Ledger.
Yeah, so Kat and I founded that in 2016. Kind of went into hiatus. We had a few purchase orders, etc. And that's when I was working at the Consensus. It was just trying to get traction. And then, fast forward a few years, got some investment so we could actually then start paying people. That's when I rolled off Consensus, and now I still freelance, but I just contract to Civic Ledger, so just so I can have a bit of freedom as well.
How did you meet Kat?
Kat came to one of my meetups.
Kat is Katrina Donahue. Let's put it out Kat. There.
Yeah, so she came down with the fluffy hair into the meetup, and, you know, just discovered it, when I say it blockchain and how it can change the world, and people always come with you, oh, we can do this and this, and, you know, you've heard that narrative, you know, 100 times before, so you go, oh, yeah, that's cool, you know, come along, welcome. And, you know, I passed the baton along, and now I'm sure people go to her meetups and say, hey, Kat, I've technology. Yeah, okay.
Let's do this, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do provenance and let's do supply chain.
What's the price today?
Let's do solar and all these. Yeah, okay, you're the first one who's ever mentioned that. That's cool. But now it's good. Everyone's got an idea. It's, again, like the internet and the website. Everyone says, I can write this website and then do this. And it's like, yeah, of course you can. Yeah, go for it. So now there's millions of them. So, yeah, go for it. Good luck. Let's try. Let's build.
So what does inspire you in this space?
So much. There's so much cool stuff. Like, I'm an advocate of actually using this tech. Like, you know, we mentioned at the pub the other night. Disclaimer, I didn't pay with Bitcoin. I had cash on me. But I like to try and, you know, support things. I say to Caleb, he's got a few merchants. Caleb from Travel By Bit in Brisbane, he's got quite a few merchants. So once a week, we try and go to a coffee shop and, you know, pay with Bitcoin even. And then we walk past probably 10 other coffee shops, but, you know, try and support it. And, you know, I really want to be an advocate of it, like, you know, Sam Brooks's MyStake, using that technology for a while. So trying to, you know, support the ecosystem. So that's one thing I'm passionate about is really, you know, if the early adopters aren't going to use the technology, then who is? And we should probably just go home if we don't. And that was probably a bit of a black pill moment with consensus too. Like my contract said that I want to get paid in Ethereum, and they agreed to that. And then 2 months in, we set up an Australian entity, and they said, "Oh, no, it's too hard. We all get paid in cash." Or was it actually a little bit not true? There's actually a transition period, so we're getting paid from Switzerland in Australian dollars. So there was like 1 week or 5 day bank transfer latency, and I said, "Well, imagine if we had a technology, we could have instant settlements."
Imagine that.
So again, it's like even the founder of Ethereum, like, and you're still not getting paid in Ethereum. So it's again, like, if we're not going to use this technology, then who is? And what are we wasting our time for if no one?
Thank goodness there's an Australian startup called Get Paid in Bitcoin. Yeah, exactly. Can you get paid in Ethereum?
Oh, not yet. Bitcoin Cash, guys. Yeah, we're working on it. But it's...
Oh, dude, who cares about that?
Yeah. Your words, not mine. So there's those things, and then like there's so much innovation. Like you jump on the Australian Ethereum Telegram group, and you're seeing posts from Bok and stuff, and you go, "Oh, I'll read this and that. This is cool." And the Sigma Prime Lightning stuff, and there's so much cool stuff. And contributed to like a .NET version of the EVM. It's like, oh, cool. I want to do some time on that, but it's not really billable work. So you got all these billable projects, all this cool innovation. You want to come to here and you want to go to Bokki's workshops, and you just can't be bored. Like it's whatever you want. It's Christmas. Like just make a pull request on the EVM, or you know, I got stuck on a bug. I was doing some work for the IDX guys and it wouldn't compile, so I had to go into the compiler on the EVM compiler and work out why this thing's not breaking. So you're jumping into C++ with consensus, we're doing stuff with Haskell with the quorum, and doing Go. So it's crazy. It's just, I don't know, if you like technology, it's just so much innovation and cool stuff to do. Like, I know if you're not inspired in this space, I don't know what you should be doing. Like, I really don't know.
So what was, you've been into this space for a long time now, I mean, more than most people. What is one thing that you think it's really cool and one thing that you think it's really crap?
Yeah, so I have been in a while. They call me Bitcoin Grandpa. I'm in Brisbane.
you are getting a little bit of grey in your beard there.
I am, so yeah, we'll Photoshop that up. At least I'm not losing too much hair though, so I can still grow some hair. So the question was, what do we like and what we not so like?
One main thing that you really like and one main thing that you don't.
One thing I like is that the community is pretty awesome. Like, you know, we've got some really selfless people like Bokki and even Nick Addison. And if you get stuck, you can just fire questions on these guys and they help you out. And I say guys because unfortunately, you know, there aren't too many engineers that are women that have helped me out. So, which is maybe a shame. But the community is still really tight. And, you know, I spoke at a law thing a couple of months ago and we made that comment and the lawyers go, "Yeah, we don't understand why you guys help each other out for free." Like, it was so fun. Because
and you then, count on the lawyers to say that.
Yeah, but you know, we run the meetups to give that back, and I think people will see that. It's like, well, you've given back to the community. It's kind of incumbent on us to help each other, and if we can all work together, then we can have some and share those learnings, and we can have some really good outcomes. So that's one thing I really love, and like you come down to Sydney and you get invited out like last night, and welcome with open arms. So it's great, and actually,
I've made this comment about lawyers not doing stuff for free, but now that I think about it and thinking about community, we have a handful of really great lawyers that have done lots for the community, yeah. And they are out there learning, they are part of the groups, they are trying to figure out the standards, and all of this is pro bono work, so the Bitcoin and crypto lawyers, they are a little bit more progressive than regular lawyers.
That's probably true. After this, I'm actually going to have coffee with some lawyers. But, so it's quite funny because at the gig, they were pulling me aside and said, oh, we want to get into programming, which I think was really cool. And like, they have to sneak off at lunchtime to learn to program. It's like this dirty thing. It's like, yeah, it's like, well, you're on the right path if you have to sneak off and do it, right? So I'm going to catch up with them and see what they're at. And, again, just offer an hour of my time and say, look, well, what are you stuck with? I recommended Python, so we'll see how they're going with that. It's a good gateway programming language, I think. So the not-so-good side, I don't know. We do have people come up. I remember running the meetup once, and we ran it at Fishburners, and the door downstairs locks at 6. And we put a sign up there and said, like, if you get stuck, text me. Don't call, because when you're presenting, it's hard to, people have given you the time, so you want to give their attention. So long story short is I missed the call. It's like 7 o'clock or something. He called me. I said, sorry, man, like I missed your call. And then you flame me on the site saying, I spent I wasted my night coming out to this thing and I couldn't get in. And I said, well, fuck, mate, it's free beer and pizza. All you had to do was turn up on time, and we even had a half an hour late period, and you couldn't even do that. So it was the only person I've ever banned on Meetup. I said, you know what? I'm over you. Go start your own group. I don't care. So it's probably not the space. It's probably just humanity there. But generally, I found it all pretty cool. Besides, I guess, like I said, the some people now, it's a bit. The community is growing. We're getting more engineers involved, not the full crypto anarchists, which is great. Like, there's some great engineers, but, again, back to the consensus not getting paid in Ethereum, like, I felt like I was the crazy one saying, well, why don't you want to get paid in cash? It's like, so, but anyway, we're transitioning into more mainstream, and that's what's going to shake out of it. But, you find the community that, you like and resonate with. So, but anyway, it's still all good.
All about community.
It is.
Any final words of wisdom for the young ones, or people of any age trying to get into the space that are programmers or have been programming for a while or just coming out of uni, different pathways?
Yeah, I think it's probably just say it's not a spectator sport. You don't learn the piano by watching. You just got to do it. I think when I was starting to program Bitcoin, I didn't understand miners' fees, and I think the miners' fee was 4 Bitcoin that I sent, and I was like, oops. And then I thought, there is a testnet. Maybe I'll play on that. Maybe I'm not that clever. So I never want to go back and look at that transaction again, but oops. Yeah, but get in there and play and learn, and like I said, try and contribute back. It really does pay dividends. Like, if you make a pull request, it's always welcome. So, get in there and start doing, and then see what shakes out.
Do you have any favorite tools and programs and things that you use or websites that you refer to on a regular basis that helped you or helps you?
Yeah, good point. So Myth Wallet, I guess we use that a bit, and the Visual Studio Code and Juan Blanco's plug in there. So hats off to those guys. I used to be for a while, and I should do it back. I used to tip like once a month, like an open source project, just throw back $50. You think, $50, but you don't realize how much time that saves you. And if you're doing commercial billable work and you're billing the client out at this and it saves you an hour, well, you should pass that up. So I was actually thinking about this on the way down. So I want to start tipping some of those projects back again. And even if it's like the Nicolas Doria guy, I think his name, the French guy, like, I've offered to tip him a few times, and he goes, no, don't worry about it. But I guess it's even that offer is gives them a bit more motivation. So, you know, if you just offer to tip someone, they go, well, yeah, it's my work's being appreciated, give him a pat on the back, and it'll prompt them to keep going with the development.
And that goes along, I think, in any spectrum of business. For example, I do a lot of social media stuff, and I use this website called Pixabay that offers free photos, but you can tip. Yeah. So I always buy them a coffee or something, yeah, because, you know, that sort of motivates the artist. They're putting some of their work there for everyone to use to just keep on doing. And that's the beauty of peer-to-peer.
Yeah, exactly. And if they take tips in crypto, then yeah, all the better. So
they don't yet, but I've been harassing them about it.
Yeah, good stuff. So I guess that's my tips. Get out there doing it. I guess immerse yourself, be respectful, and try and contribute back. And like you said, there's lots of different ways, you know, like even at the meetup, just say, hey, can I do the logistics tonight? Can I help order the food? Or, you know, do you want someone to man the door or person the door? Or, you know, post some photos up, and it's generally all welcome.
You can get involved in more ways than programming. So yeah, whatever your skill set is, there's a space for it.
Exactly, yeah. Like, there's lots of aspects to contribute, for sure.
When do your meetups happen?
I try and do once every 6 weeks. But we've got some more people now offering to do the meetups now, which is great. So Alex from Amber's run a few now. Hayden, who's one of the Bitcoin Cash advocates, he's running them through there. He did a trading one, which is pretty well received. So, mm-hmm, yeah, trying to grow other people to use the platform to run their meetups. So as long as you're not shilling the latest ICO, then that's fine. So, or just disclose what you're doing. If you're shilling your ICO, say, hey, I'm doing this. And if you don't like ICO shilling, just don't come to that meetup, but just be open and transparent. So, yeah, try and do them every 4 to 6 weeks. We had the Christmas party, which I saw a few photos of.
Yes, I did.
Those were the PG photos. It got a bit loose after that, but maybe we'll put that on the B-track, the B-side.
I hope you bring your reindeer suit for our party next week.
I might fly down there. It'd be quite funny. Yeah, why not? Yeah, so, yeah, no, it's all good. So,
can you fly dressed up as a reindeer, like, on the plane? That would be hilarious.
Well, we'll see, hey. We'll see. I'll book a business flight. You're pretty much allowed to do anything on business, right? So, why not? Yeah. That sounds a good idea. I'll take some photos, put it on your site.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right. Thank you,
Lucas. No, thank you. It's been great. Keep up the good work. And post them on the Blockchain Australia site. I've been meaning to ask you about that.
Oh, actually, we haven't talked about Blockchain Australia. Okay. Rewind. Let's go back a little bit.
Reorg the blocks, yeah.
So what's been happening with Blockchain Australia? For those who doesn't know, Blockchain Australia used to be Bitcoin Association of Australia. And I was in board of that in 2014-15. Yeah, that's how Lucas and I met. Yeah. And Lucas is still... Are you the VP now?
I think so, yeah. I think I'm pointing through. I'm just a member. I want to rename the members to nodes, so we can be nodes and masternodes.
Oh, I'm a masternode at Prismatic.
Oh, cool. Nice.
I'm marketing and community masternode.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, it's a not-for-profit organization that, you know, we're trying to advocate Bitcoin and blockchain technology. So, you know, the Christmas party, I try and get members to sign up. And for that, you know, I provide them a premium drinks package. But most of the time, it's the board members pay for things out of their own pockets, and we try and just advocate the technologies. We're pretty decentralized. We've got members in each state now. I think we just got a member, a masternode joining up in Adelaide too. So,
that's new.
Yeah, so just trying to connect the dots. It's like I said, there's so many communities and so many pockets are trying to use that platform to collate all the content and good stuff happening in Australia.
So who are on the board now? We have Cherie Ip. She's there.
Yep, she's over in Perth.
Yeah.
He put me on the spot now. So we've got Adam Polton, who's the president down in Tassie. We have Martin Davidson, he's off, sorry. The other Martin too.
We have the other Martin, he's also in Perth.
Yeah.
And then Caleb traveled Brisbane by a bit, with you, yep. Yes. And then there's you.
We put on CEO David from Sydney.
Yeah.
And we've got Karen from Melbourne from the Blockchain Center. Oh,
okay. Karen Cohen. So she replaced Martin pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. All so right. We got so they're two new members, us two masternodes.
Alex, I think, as well.
Yeah, and Alex from
Tasmania.
Yep, Nuggets News, and then hopefully the South Australian rep as well. So yeah.
We need someone in NT.
We do, we do. So yeah, again, trying to spread out and. Yeah, just help each other out, support the meetup groups, and offer those education sessions and good information. And like I said, collate all the podcasts like this. We've got the Crypto Clothesline Girls and a few others, and hopefully kind of be a portal for what's happening in Australia. I was actually doing a jobs board too, so I get a lot of recruiters asking, looking for work. So generally say, we'll post your ad on there. So we had a bit of a job section, AgriDigital and Paraledger had positions, Everledger, so advertising them on there, so perhaps people can go there and, get some work in this space.
Sounds good. And the website is blockchainaustralia.org.
Yep.
So yeah, get in there, get in touch.
And don't put the www because I don't have the certificate for that. It's been on the backlog for about 2 years, so...
That's volunteer work. Do things when you have time.
Yeah, let's encrypt. It's probably about a 30-second job. But
HTTPS.
Yeah, there we go. It's WordPress site, so don't judge me. But yeah, awesome. Does the job.
Does the job. Thank you so much, Lucas.
Our pleasure.
I hope you have a good rest of the stay in Sydney this week, and I'll see you again next week.
We'll see you again next week at the Christmas. What is it?
Cryptomus.
Cryptomus. In the reindeer suit. Yeah, or the bear market reindeer suit. Oh, that's what people. Bear market will be over by then. By the time the listeners come out, this will be at Lambo times, right? We'll be back to the Lambos.
In January?
Yeah, in January.
That will have like an even more stratospheric rise of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Lambos or,
You heard it here first, but this is not financial advice.
Okay.
See you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, the new one that comes with iOS 14 or whatever.
That was the awesome Lucas Cullen. I love that he always advocates for using Bitcoin and Ethereum as cash, like getting paid in crypto, pay for things with crypto. This is something I'm really passionate about as well, and I try to do it as much as possible. You can get in touch with Lucas on Twitter at Bitcoin Brisbane, and I will add links to his other profiles on the show notes. If you have any suggestions or questions for me, I'm at A Bellotti on Twitter and Adriana Bellotti on LinkedIn. Links also on the show notes. Thanks for listening. I hope you had a good time spending this half hour with us, and I will see you at the next block. Before you go, let me remind you to please share this episode if you enjoyed it and know anyone that would benefit from it. Thanks a bunch, and talk to you later.